Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show with Mike Wood, coming to you live from the City of Medicine, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 10th day of October, 2016. Well, I just want to start the show off. A tragedy played out here in North Carolina, especially eastern North Carolina, a part of the state that's dear to my heart. A lot of flooding and a lot of destruction happened in eastern North Carolina and is ongoing now with the flooding. So our prayers go out to those in, you know, cities and towns all over eastern North Carolina, you know, Lumberton, Fayetteville, which is mainly in the central part, but Fayetteville, Lumberton, all in that area. Hertford County also hit my home county and the county that the school that we're going to be talking about tonight is located in. A lot of flooding there, you know, born and raised right there in Murfreesboro, North Carolina, which made them either famous or infamous, depending on how you look at it. But our prayers go out to those areas of the world. And speaking of Murfreesboro, North Carolina, tonight we have head baseball coach Brian DeWitt, and head softball coach, rather, and he's the softball coach there at Chowan University in Murfreesboro, North Carolina. Good evening, coach, and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Well, coach, let's talk about your softball team last year, 2016. You won the Northern Division. I mean, you completely tore up that division, 29-14 overall. It was your second division title. You know, you earned Coach of the Year. You had several players that earned all CIAA honors. Let's talk about that. But before we get there, let's talk about the road that brought you to Chowan. Talk about your background.
Well, I'm originally from northern Wisconsin, and men's fast pitch is very popular up there. So my dad played men's fast pitch for 30-plus years, and right after I finished high school, I wanted to keep playing ball, and the natural switch was to join a men's fast pitch team, and that got me really hooked on the game, and from there, along with my teaching and coaching degrees at University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, I got into teaching and coaching at a high school in Wisconsin. And once I earned my master's degree, I really wanted to challenge myself and see if I could, you know, coach at the collegiate level. So my first job was in Highland, Kansas, which is a community school, two-year school. And I spent several years there rebuilding that program and then moved to Eunice, Louisiana, where I started a program as an extension of LSU. So it was LSU at Eunice, another two-year school. Built that program up and got it running good and then wanted to see if I could move to the four-year level. So then I took a job in Kalamazoo, Michigan at Kalamazoo College, which is a Division III school, and got a lot of experience there. And then the job, there was a job opening here at Chowan University for an assistant coach, and interviewed and got offered the job, and here I am.
Well, you know, it's interesting you talk about the community college track getting there. A lot of our people, a lot of our audience, our listening audience, don't realize just like on the other side of the Mississippi River, what I like to say, out yonder somewhere, Kansas and you know, Wisconsin, wherever, two-year schools are really big because you have like communities that are small communities, much like Murfreesboro, small communities where at one time Chowan University was Chowan College. And that was a two-year college, especially when I was growing up. And you had a lot of great athletes come through. You had a lot of great competition. They won championships. So, you know, you get the kids at the two-year schools sometimes a lot better than the ones at the four-year schools. But a lot of these kids at the four-year schools come from those two-year schools. But if you really want to see some good baseball, softball, and especially football, I'm telling you right now, you go to the JUCOs and you will see it. In North Carolina, we only have, like, I think it's only one, like, residential JUCO, which is Lewisburg College, and the rest of them are, like, community colleges, but you still get those great athletes going to those schools. So let's fast forward, like I said, to where you are right now, 2016, Coach of the Year, 29-14, a plethora of CIAA, I like to call them all-stars. So talk about last year's season and progress it into what you're looking for in 2017, which, believe it or not, is right around the corner.
Yes, it is. Well, our season last year, you know, we worked from day one in the fall talking about attention to detail, and we used the, I guess you would call it a little story about, you know, climbing Mount Everest and putting in the work to go from one step to the next, and the equipment that you would need to bring along the way, thinking ahead and planning, and kind of tied that into quality practice attempts and what it would take to get to the top of that mountain. And, you know, the students did a great job of buying into that story and really putting life into it every day at the ball field.
Now, do you find it is, since you've come through the JUCO route, Division III route, now Division II, is it easier to build a team based on bringing in your own kids from the freshman level and keeping them those 4 years and teaching them, you know, the Hawks way? Or do you think it's better to bring in, like, JUCOs or internationals to kind of take that maturity process and that leadership process, kick it into high gear, and bring them in and try to build around that?
Actually, I think a good mix. It's good to have a few community college students. They have the study habits down, the college work ethic, if you will. They understand, you know, the teachers aren't going to chase them down to turn in a homework assignment. So they already have that dose of maturity. And then, you know, if we find quality students coming right out of high school, we just make sure that they fit our recruiting philosophy, the model that we try and teach in our program. And I think a good mix is the best way to go.
Yeah, you know, one thing that really, you know, it blows my mind completely. I actually heard this one day. I happened to be walking through the hallways, and I think it was it had to have been an academic advisor was actually explaining to a freshman athlete who evidently was, like, big time where they were, and they got babied and pampered and given things that they actually – they would not be able to, like, participate if they didn't get a special project done, you know, and they wouldn't be able to play the game. As simple as that. You don't do the project. You can't get cleared because everybody has to be cleared through the compliance staff. Every week for every game, you've got to be cleared. And they actually – I actually heard them say, what do you mean I have to go to class? Really? Seriously? I mean, it almost made me stop and drop my coffee, which would have been tragic. But it made me just, like, almost put on brakes and go, what do you think this is? Do you find that when you get these athletes who have been, quote, halfway good at their high schools or sometimes on their travel ball clubs or whatever, and everybody keeps saying, attaboy, there you go, when they're in high school and coming through, but then they never really have to work for it. So when they get to you, do you find that you mainly have to reiterate that strongly, that they need good study habits? Or, I mean, what do you find nowadays with the kids coming in, you know, the freshmen entering in? Are they ready, or do you need to kind of give them a kick in the behind to get them ready?
Most of them are ready. I think, you know, if you do a good job of recruiting and you're very picky and you look at not just the athletic statistics but what they're doing in the classroom, any volunteer activities that they have outside the classroom, it kind of gives you a peek into their work ethic. So if you're recruiting someone who, you know, is great on the field but isn't getting the job done in the classroom, you can't really be shocked or surprised when the compliance officer, you know, sends you an email and says, we got to have a chat. So for the most part, if you're good at recruiting in terms of sticking to your philosophy and going after those quality students, then they'll get the job done on both sides of the coin, if you will.
Yeah, that's one thing I was also wondering is the recruiting process, the way it goes today, a kid can't, you know, if they have social media, the recruiter knows about the social media. They have seen every tweet they ever tweeted, every Facebook that they've ever Facebooked. They've talked to every teacher, every coach, every pastor, every community leader, and they can get their hands on. They've looked at every film. So how do you – I looked at all the film, plus they see transcripts, which is the ultimate indicator. I don't care – you know, a kid can run 5,000 yards in a game if he wants to and score 100 touchdowns, but he also can be dumb as Bubba, and that's still not going to get him to your school. So, you know, I'm often wondering sometimes how these kids do slip through the cracks if they're doing, you know, the recruiting person is doing their due diligence. You know, maybe it's not so much the kid's fault as the recruiter who is doing it. Maybe you need to, whoever it is, needs to call them in the office and then see the head get small as they send them out the door because they're bringing in the kids that aren't going to really make it in your program. Well, let's talk about now 2017 is coming up. Softball in the CIAA is also getting, it is increasing by leaps and bounds. You have teams that are making tremendous strides in getting in the quality kids for the program. They're just actually setting the world on fire, so to speak. Talk about, you've been at Chilwan about 3 years now. Talk about the difference that you've seen in just those 3 years, which in a coaching life is an eternity sometimes. So how have you seen the CIAA increase? The talent level or them get better in softball in those 3 years?
Well, the first thing I can see is a noticeable improvement in the recruiting. I mean, a lot of programs from when I first got to the school have brought in much more talented student athletes, which obviously makes everyone better because it challenges you to go out and kind of stay ahead of the curve. I also see a lot of quality coaches who are doing a much better job of teaching the game and teaching the skills and getting the students prepared to go out and play the game.
And now looking at the strength of the conference coming up in 2017, I usually like to ask coaches, you know, where do they think they're going to, you know, be within that number in the upcoming season. And there anything like me, when I was asked that question, I used to always tell all the other coaches, well, I know who number one is going to be. I'm going to let you guys fight over two, three, four, and five. But when coming into this season with the improvement of the conference, how do you see the conference shaking out this year? Who are the top dogs and who are going to be fighting for the top prize?
Well, I would say definitely Winston-Salem is always right in the equation. You can almost pencil them in on Championship Saturday every year. They have a quality program, and it's the measuring bar that we use to build our program around. I know Johnson C. Smith has gotten very competitive over the last several seasons, and it would not shock me if they were in Championship Saturday as well. Bowie State, Fayetteville State are all on the rise, quality programs that, you know, I'm thankful we only have to see them once or twice a year.
Yeah, that's the thing. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the CIAA has this, like, I almost call it like a jamboree format where all the teams get together and they play each other like on a Saturday and maybe a Sunday. Is that something that they still do? I know they used to do it at one time where all the teams get together and play, and it's primarily a good way to save money and get games in.
Yes, we still do that. It's actually a Friday through Sunday weekend,
mm-hmm.
And it's as a North school team, we play every team in the South once over the course of that weekend, so two games on Friday, two games on Saturday, and two games on Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, double header, and talk about tired and fatigued. That really does. So if you look at that kind of format, and I know it's not something you'll find in the playoffs, but if you can get through that and play at a high level for 3 days, I mean, you got to play at a high level for 3 days my goodness, that does get that mentality right to go into the playoffs and take on anything that comes at you, because it's almost like I hear guys in the Marines say, you know, I don't want to go through boot camp again. I'd rather go do something else. Heck, they say fighting in a war is easier than going through boot camp. So you kind of want to go through, you know, you go through those rigors there and then get in the playoffs, which is kind of easy, and that's the reward for getting through that kind of a format. That is awesome. So that means that every team in the Northern and Southern Division get to play each other at least one time in this in this tournament format.
Yes. Yep.
That is tough. My goodness gracious. Well, let's talk about the players you have on the team this year that are going to be impact players, some of the ones returning, and some of the recruits you've gotten in, if you can talk about them, who can make the sudden impact on Hawk softball this year.
Sure. Well, as far as the returners go, we're returning Kayla Robbins, who is our, I guess, ace, if you will, ace of the staff. She was the pitcher of the year in our conference last year, had a just an amazing spring where she got on a streak, and and she had the look in the eye where if I wanted to try and take the ball out of her hand, it wasn't going to happen. So we had to put her out there, and she got the job done for us. Some of the other returners we have are Tina White, who's coming back. She plays second base and shortstop, has a lot of home run power, a lot of speed. Chris Neal in the outfield is a doubles threat almost every time she steps up to the plate, and she's learning to be a little more aggressive on the base pass, so you'll see her turn doubles into triples and kind of read that outfielder, like if they kind of come up nonchalantly and assume she's going to stop at second, you'll see her kind of shift gears and take that extra base on a lazy throw behind. So she has really grown. Some of our new students, we've got two transfers from community colleges in Florida, and one is a pitcher. Her name is Shelby Griffiths, and we also have an outfielder named Emily Stafford. They both can hit. They both have that, I guess you would call it that Florida background, where they're outside 24/7 playing ball and just love to be on the field. We have a catcher from the Los Angeles area. Her name is Lindsay Stigler, and she is going to be a threat with the bat. She's competing with Haley Cooper, who was our conference freshman of the year last year, rookie player of the year. And she hit over 400 in her first year of college, and she was lights out, and she's looking really good so far again this fall.
Well, now, would you describe the CIAA as, and this might be a strange question too, but as a hitter's league or a fielder's league, kind of like in basketball, are you a power conference where, people just beat it inside, or you finesse where they try to shoot the three? So in softball, they want to just bang out the hits for power, bang out the hits for average, or, try to put the ball in play and just try to beat you with speed.
Oh, and it's hit that ball as hard as you can, and any team in the conference, if the pitcher leaves it up or over the middle of the plate, it will go hard and it will go far. And we work on keeping that knee-high pitch on a daily basis. So it's, I think, definitely a hitter's conference.
All right, Coach, to wrap things up now, if I'm a kid out here and the parents are, working with the kid and they're looking for a university to come to, they're looking for a softball program to play in, and, they're listening right now, what would you say to any child, any kid, any player, any parent out there about Chowan University to recruit them or to make them say, hey, Chowan is the place for me?
What won me over is the family feeling on this campus. Everyone will know your name. Everyone will say hi. You will see in the cafeteria some of the most important people on campus eat lunch in there every day. They know the students' names. They care about the students, and they want to see them leave and graduate a better person. That's what won me over.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for appearing on the Overtime Sports Show. It's been an honor and a pleasure to talk with you. As the we get closer to softball season and the season starts, hopefully we'll get you back on the show and talk about Chowan softball. And I know things get busy because it's getting ready to heat up. And, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you this right now, experience. The season, everybody says, well, the season was over last year. Mm-mm. The last game of the season, when you arrive back in your office there at Chowan University, started at the beginning of the next season. So you really never have time off. I mean, now everything is on a cycle, it's year-round. So, the hard work is still going on. I know the hard work is going to increase as it gets closer to the season. I know you're probably having some all-season practices and games for the fall. But, when the season starts next year in full swing, we'll try to get you back on the show and find out how things are going.
I would appreciate that very much. Thank you.
All right, Coach. Well, thank you so much for appearing on the show.
Thank you. Have a great night.
All right, you too. That was Coach Brian DeWitt, the head softball coach at Chowan University in Murfreesboro, North Carolina. Of course, Chowan is a member of the CIAA, and they took the Northern Division last year, and they took it by storm 29-14. And I tell you what, that, ladies and gentlemen, is nothing to sneeze at. We were talking off the air, myself and Coach DeWitt, that winning, and it sounds cliche-ish, but winning, it's the hardest thing to do because in order to win, you have to stop the will or completely defeat the will of the other person to win. And to the other person comes in with just as much will and desire to take that game as you do, but your job is to break that will, and that is the hardest thing to do in the human experience, especially in athletics, because we're trained to do what? Never, ever give up. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Overtime Sports Show tonight, and we'll be back on tomorrow night, 6:30, right here on Blog Talk Radio, as we talk with Juanita Farrow. She is the author of The Common Good, and she also, believe it or not, is from Murfreesboro, North Carolina. Yes, she is, and she's got a book now that's really selling off the shelves, and it's going to talk about changing things in your life. So listen tomorrow night on the Overtime Sports Show, 6:30. Linda Van Smith will be interviewing her. You can hear it right here. Until then, goodbye, everybody.
I'm going to unite.